Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Is the one I posted. So I don't know, man. I was just like, Jesus, I'm going to get a talking to for this, I'm sure. But it was wild. So then I just said, hey, listen, guys, I apologize. Okay, I deleted the tweet. I apologize. Well, then, what do you think happened to the Rockies account after those games? I didn't do it. Padres Twitter just took it upon themselves to make about 4 million Todd Helton memes and GIFs and him pouring whiskey in his mouth. And it was awful. Awful. So sometimes you need to be careful on social media. Not me. The Rockies need to be careful on social media because it will backfire and blow up in your face. It's exactly what happened to them. So Padres Twitter is they're wild, dude. They're a force to be reckoned with, and you just don't mess with them. At the end of the day, I'm a morning show host. I'm trying to do a funny show. I caused a little controversy. That's kind of what I'm supposed to do. Todd Helton, I hope the guy gets the help he needs, and I hope he doesn't drink and drive anymore. How about that? We'll leave it at that. Okay? Anybody else got anything? Anybody want to weigh in here? Was I in the wrong, Paulie?
Absolutely. It was unnecessary. It was shameful, and it's embarrassing.
I'm going to put – what does it say?
I was going to put it in our Twitter bio.
I'm going to put it in my Twitter bio because I'm not going to lump Ben in with my misdeeds. All right? So what is it?
This is an embarrassment from a verified member of the media. Unnecessary. Okay. Shameful and way too far, Stephen.
Unnecessary, shameful, and way too far. So basically, F the Rockies is what I have to say. They're like, I don't like those guys anyway. I've never liked that team. Some of the guys that they have under their employ, awful, awful human beings. You're talking about the team, by the way, that signed Jose Reyes after he beat up his wife. You're talking about the team whose owner had a DUI as well. And Padres Twitter came right to my defense. They're like, okay, we can't use his mugshot. How about this one? And it's a mugshot of their owner grinning from ear to ear after a DUI. So thank you to all of you who had my back. Rockies, I'll see you in the parking lot after the game, or after the show, if you want to meet me down there. We'll have a nice talk about it. It was ridiculous that they did that to me.
Our boy SD fan Kyle tweeted in, nothing but rainbows and unicorns for my favorite morning show.
Yeah.
And it's a gif that I wish I hadn't seen before.
So, yeah. So now, that was my new bit, as I said, that's fine. From now on, my Twitter feed is just rainbows and unicorns. So I tweeted the Rockies after they won. Hey, guys, great job. We came up a little bit short tonight, but man, what an effort from your guys. See you next time. You know, and I'm a sarcastic guy. I was trying to make a joke. At the end of the day, you want to really defend Todd Helton.
This one killed. Great effort tonight at Rockies. Was fun watching our two teams compete.
Yeah.
Best of luck tomorrow. Hashtag Mr. Positive. Hashtag New Leaf.
Hashtag turning over a new leaf. That's it right now. It's all about positivity. I was freaking out a little bit, though, and then Padres Twitter had my back, so that made me feel good. So thank you guys out there. Please continue to pound the Rockies every chance you get, because those guys were jerks. That was ridiculous. Speaking of unnecessary, shameful, and uncalled for, that's Rockies Twitter for you right there in a nutshell. We had a phenomenal show Friday. Fryer Friday was amazing. We had executive chairman of the Padres, Ron Fowler, on with Ben and Woods. Our first week, great, great interview. We will play that for you next as we await Ben Higgins this morning. I cannot wait to get Benny in here. We're going to talk O.J. Simpson today. We're talking Lakers. We're talking a ton of Padres. I didn't see 1 second of the game yesterday. I'm going to have Ben break the whole thing down for you and for me. But first, Ron Fowler next, the executive chairman of the Padres right here on Ben and Woods.
I get such stunned looks when I'm in so early. Oh, man.
It is amazing.
We're already walking in the building.
is
Are
great.
Are you happy to see me at least?
So happy.
Woke up, tried to get up a little bit earlier this Monday. I just figured start the week. I was listening on the way in, and it's like, you're right. There's a lot to talk about. So I thought,
so
try
much
to get here.
To
you
talk
were also
about.
Right. I didn't go to bed until after 1 o'clock last
good
night.
Good God.
So it was a short turnaround on this one. Hey, good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods with you here on 97.3 The Fan. Week number two getting started. So I have a question. If you were listening in Woodsy and Paul's first segment there, Woods was telling the story about his weekend on Twitter and mm-hmm. how he ran afoul of the Colorado Rockies social media team with a post that they felt was over the line.
Yeah.
Was not in good taste.
Drinking and driving is not over the line, by the way.
It was
but a social media.
And shameful, and it was way too far.
Yeah, I'm going to put that in my Twitter bio.
So, I did a quiet little call, like got up and I saw what Paul saw from the Colorado Rockies account with Stephen being shamed on Twitter for what he posted, and I did the call. I said, so
what'd you do?
What's going on here? What do I need to know before we come back to work for our second week at our new job? You know, knowing that maybe this is something that I have to get out in front of. But now that I've seen the entire, you know, the original tweet, what was said, and
yeah.
I tend to agree with you that they overreacted to what was in complete good fun and certainly not trying to, you know, tarnish anyone's reputation or anything that was over the top. So now I started to worry this weekend after the whole incident. Would you have not deleted that tweet if it weren't for me? Were you like afraid? Oh,
no, I was going to. I did it. I felt bad for us because somebody was like, dude, you guys should rehab. I'm like, oh, great. Now I feel like a jerk. And then I started thinking, I'm like, if I posted a picture of him walking into rehab, making fun of that, then yeah, I'm an a-hole. There's no other way to look at it. You're a huge a-hole. Like I said, I didn't know the guy had a problem with alcohol. Just because you get a DUI doesn't mean you have a problem with alcohol. It means you're a moron, right? Like, lots of people have four drinks and drive and get a DUI. And now but looking at his record, like I said, seems like the only thing he's addicted to is drinking and
right.
driving.
And the opposite is also true. You can have a serious alcohol problem
and never get a DUI.
But take an Uber or a Lyft everywhere you go and not get a DUI. So.
Pretty much my entire baseball team, the guys I play with, all of them are alcoholics. None of them drink and drive. So there you go.
Anyway, I was just worried that you're modifying your behavior, which not necessarily a bad thing. You know, I want you to. I want you to be responsible, of course.
Sure.
But I also want you to be yourself. I don't want you to worry, I don't want to hurt Ben by doing something that might tarnish his reputation along with mine.
Well,
go ahead, tarnish your own as much as you want. I just wanted you to feel free to do that.
Well, I appreciate it. No, I did not delete it on your account. I would have had you asked me to. And then I was starting to get mad at myself. Like, why'd you delete it? You didn't do anything wrong. Like, Todd Helton did something wrong. Imagine getting on Twitter and vociferously defending a multiple offender like that, right? So I was like, Jesus, here we go. So it was fine. It's fine. It's all good.
So we got a huge show coming up this morning. Here in our first hour, in case you missed it on Friday, we got our first Friar Friday opportunity to speak to the executive chairman of the Padres, Ron Fowler. We're going to have some of that for you coming back here in about 10 minutes.
Oh, we're not doing it here.
No,
okay.
We're not going to do it here we're already on this conversation, and we want to make sure we have time to go through whatever Ron said in case anyone missed it. One thing you said, though, on Friday was that you'd like to see the Padres get a split out of their series in Colorado.
Yes.
And they did.
They did.
They did.
God,
they
did
absolutely
they ever.
Did. Which
Holy
is great,
God.
Because honestly, you know, the Padres were two miracle comebacks away from what would have been a really season-crushing series. Not,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, if you had lost all four of those, you know, and given up 70 runs to the Rockies in the process and been six games under .500, coming home to face a first-place Milwaukee Brewers team tonight at Petco Park, that would be a tough, tough blow to come back from. So all credit in the world for the Padres. I mean, playing to the final out every single time. That's hard to do. You talked about how difficult it was to watch that baseball
at Coors
Field.
It was painful, right? Like, Friday night's game. So luckily for me, usually my wife, Hannah, goes to bed fairly early. But luckily for me, Friday night, she went out for her sister's birthday. So she got home a little late, right in the midst of the comeback, which would fully allow me then to leap out of my bed and cheer very loudly when Fernando Tatis hit that absolute missile that almost killed Wade Davis. Oh, my God, that comeback on Friday night. I've never seen anything like that.
I slept through most of it. I fell asleep early.
This was the best. So, Your wife woke you up in the night.
The game was out of hand. I'd been a long week of two jobs, and I'm getting back into the double morning night grind. And I fell asleep, you know, long before the comeback. And she had to wake me up and say, "Hey, this is happening. We need to start getting up and watching it." And I ended up watching all the way until the end when the Padres pulled it out in the 12th inning.
With a glass of milk.
With a glass of milk.
My favorite picture of the weekend.
It was incredible. Your wife, Shelley, always with the gold, sends out a picture of you lying in bed with a glass of milk. Because
enjoying that game. It
was number one, you're 6 years old.
A refreshing beverage.
Number two, you're the most pure human alive.
So the question I got, and I didn't answer it on Twitter, but the question that I got more than any other was, is that whole 2% skim? And so I wanted to set the record straight here on Ben and Woods this morning. I drank only 1% milk, ice cold. That's
you daredevil.
That's my jam when it comes to milk. 1% ice cold, and I enjoy it during a Padres comeback. Yes, I do. I drank milk while we watched the Padres come back. Here's the issue, though. Just because you won two of those four games does not necessarily make that a successful series either. And the Padres have some big problems. We knew that the pitching staff was a little shaky. It wasn't deep. It was going to be one of the weaknesses for the teams all season. It's gone from shaky and a weakness to outright hit the panic button alarm, because there's really no one you can count on, I think, right now in that Padres starting pitching rotation. Chris Paddock has been sent down. He was struggling a little bit before that. Matt Strom, coming off the injured list, you know, was not great when he had his start on Thursday. Everyone else pretty much was abysmal, you know, out of the rotation. The pen, I mean, at least one guy every night is giving up a big inning out of the bullpen. And if the Padres don't get some reinforcements, or at least turn this around and get back to what they were doing in the first couple of months of the season, when they weren't setting the world on fire, but they also weren't awful, that's untenable. It's going to be a long summer if the pitching staff can't figure it out here, Woodsy.
Well, it's gone from bad to worse. I mean, somebody posted a breakdown month-to-month ERA for the pitching staff, and it started, you know, fairly decent. I mean, nobody was figuring out Nick Margavichus and Chris Paddock, and you know, Strom had a terrible first start, but rebounded really nicely after that. ERA was about 3-something, and jumped up to 5. Now we're in the 7s. You know, now we're in the 7s for that staff. Bullpen still very taxed. Look, if I'm Eric Lauer, and they say, "Hey, you're going to get that Saturday start at Coors Field," I'm coming down with the flu. Like, I'm never pitching at Coors Field again. And I know people will hear that and say, "Ah, no, man, you're a competitor. You got to go out there." Never. I'm never taking the ball in Coors Field again. I'll stab myself with a pencil in my throwing arm so I don't have to throw that game. Like, it's horrible.
But Coors Field contributed to the struggles, undoubtedly. But at the same time, Nick Margavichus yesterday gave up 9 runs in an inning and a third. If you're at Petco Park, he's not all of a sudden throwing a two-hit shutout with the same stuff. They're not throwing well no matter what venue or altitude they're playing at right now. I think this series against the Brewers is going to be telling, because you can't blame the ballpark. It's Petco. It's sea level. It's June. It's overcast. It's not expected to be a 100 degrees. So, you know, the ball's not going to be flying out of the yard. It's good offense, though. And if the Padres pitching staff doesn't come to play a lot better than they did against the Rockies, they're still going to be giving up 7 to 10 runs a game, even at sea level, because they're just not pitching well right now. And they've got to stop that, nip that in the bud right away, or this dream of at least hanging around 500 and maybe getting back into the positive territory and staying in the wild card race, it'll be gone by the All-Star break if they don't turn this around pretty quickly. And
I'm not
trying to be negative. I'm just saying that pitching staff, it compounds on itself. They got a bullpen day likely scheduled for Tuesday is the rumor after Joey Lucchese pitches tonight. Who's ready out of that bullpen?
No
How
kidding.
Are they going to get 9 innings out of the bullpen right now after what they had to go through at Coors Field over the past 4 days?
I don't know. And, you know, everybody's so quick to jump on Andy Green all the time, but Eric Lauer was horrible. Margavichus apparently was horrible. Benny, I didn't see 1 second of yesterday. I was out.
And a third, 11 hits, and 9 runs.
It's terrible. What do you do?
So we will take a look ahead to the Brewers series coming up at 7 o'clock this morning. Matt Pauly, who's one of the Brewers pre- and post-game hosts on 620 WTMJ in Milwaukee, is going to be with us. By the way, they have the hottest guy in baseball right now. It's not Hunter Renfro. It's close, but Christian Yelich is
like best
insane.
Looking.
Insane. No. Like,
oh.
He's hitting like .472 over his last 13 games.
I thought you meant like he was very attractive.
With 5 home runs.
Yeah, listen. I must have been dreaming or in like an ambient haze because I could have sworn I saw that Matt Strom had the game-winning RBI with a walk. Is that that happened?
That happened. That happened. While we'll go back to
Matt Strom
crazy series
against Thursday's starting pitcher
John Gray
who came back in on Sunday.
What
to get
in
the
God's game. Yeah, name?
We'll go through some of the crazy details of that series as well. By the way, during that Friday night comeback, there was a guy who sent out a tweet that I'm wondering if he's regretting. During that game, about something about getting an Andy Green tattoo.
Oh,
if the Padres come back and win this one,
my God!
I hear we've tracked down that Padres fan.
Oh yeah, he's going to be on our show today.
Okay.
There's so much to unpack with this young man, and I know you know I regretted you know drawing the ire of the Colorado Rockies social media team. I can't imagine the regret that this young man is feeling right now.
We'll also hit the Lakers trade for Anthony Davis, Arash Markazi in our 8 o'clock hour. Big show. If you missed it, though, or even if you didn't, we're going to go back a little bit of our Ron Fowler interview. When we come back, getting started, it is Monday morning. Padres fans, they escape with a split in Colorado. They're home tonight. We are Ben and Woods in the home of the Padres, 97.3 The Fan.
Right-hander Gray set 3-2. Low ball 4. My Padres take the lead. A reprise of Friday's history-making Padre comeback. And now, by gosh, after coming into the ninth inning down 13-10, I wonder what that win probability was from StatCast and Fangraphs and all that stuff that handle that. Because right now, from down 3 in the ninth to start it, they're up 1. Their first lead of the entire day.
Wonder how ill Buddy Black was feeling about himself after intentionally walking 2 batters to load the bases before John Gray walked pinch-hitting pitcher Matt Strom
off
the go-ahead run in the ninth inning last yesterday. Padres over the Rockies. What was it? 14-13, right?
Tell me.
That's crazy.
Okay?
It is absolutely crazy. I have to double take every time I look at that final score. It's Ben and Woods on a Monday morning here on 97.3 The Fan. I want to go back to our show on Friday. It's such a pleasure to have our first Friar Friday guest be none other than the executive chairman of the Padres, Ron Fowler. We went into some of the things going on with the team right now. Obviously, you know, some of these things we talked about coming up in this upcoming series, so we'll get a chance to kind of review how things went against the Rockies based on what we were expecting. Joining us from our SDCCU fan hotline, a look back, here's Ben and Woods, Friar Friday, with Padres executive chairman, Ron Fowler. Ron, it is always an honor. It is great to have you. Good morning.
Good to be here, guys. Like the fact you're back on radio.
Thanks so much.
Like we said, wish it could come under better circumstances. Obviously, it's been a tough week. The team's hit a little rut. Just kind of what have you been seeing lately? What are your guys, AJ and Andy, telling you about what's going on with the team right now?
Well, first of all, I'm happy Woodsy's taking responsibility for it.
I did. It's my fault. I'll wear it.
You were blaming other people, like me.
I blame the caddy.
Okay,
yes, of course you do.
We're all disappointed as to what's going on. You know, the last losing 5 in a row is never much fun. We haven't played very good baseball since the first 2 games against Washington. And, you know, it's a combination of everything. We're not getting timely hits. We're not putting enough balls in play. Starting pitching was good for a while. Then it's some lapses. Relievers have not been good. And we just haven't scored much runs, many runs in some of the games. So it's just a total snide and It's literally all parts of the game are not coming together for us right now.
Well, and Ron, you know, the beauty of baseball for, you know, guys in the bullpen or position players that have a bad day, and I would assume owners as well, is, look, we're nowhere near over. It's nowhere near over. We've got a lot of baseball left to play. The ship can get righted. But I got to ask you, I wonder how involved you are. And I know we're probably about a month away from really looking at what can be done to improve a team maybe, or to maybe improve the team for the future. How involved are you? Do you ever go to AJ and say, hey, who's calling about who? Or do you get involved in that at all? Or do they come to you and ask your opinion?
It's both.
Both.
AJ reports to me, and so, you know, I talk to AJ a lot recently for a couple of hours, and we go over a lot of different things, whether it's the existing group we have, whether it's people checking in on trades or AJ checking in with other people. So it's very fluid, very dynamic, and article in the paper today, I see AC's talking about Renfro, and, you know, frankly, we've had a lot of people check in on Renfro, but, I think it's common knowledge. We have a quantity of outfielders, but have any of those outfielders stepped up and been consistent throughout the course of the season? And I think some are better than they have been, but we have not had that consistency that we're looking for.
Do you consider some guys untouchable? I know they mentioned some names. Obviously, Manny Machado, you just got him. He's not going anywhere. Eric Hosmer's a core piece. Young guys, though, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr., Chris Paddock, very desirable, of course, but also I'm sure part of your future plans. Do you label guys as untouchable in the organization?
I don't think we use the term, but I think some are more touchable than others.
What's he's going to say? Save that.
Save that clip. You never disappoint, Ron, that's for sure. So if you were to, and when do you sit down and kind of make an assessment? Do you wait till the All-Star break and kind of look back as a whole? Are you a game-to-game guy like, you know, a lot of fans are out there? Do you go game-by-game assessing what's going on with the team?
I try not to.
Yeah,
but
it's hard.
I am a game-to-game guy. Looking at what you're going to do with your roster and things like that. You look at it in probably at least weeks. But we have what I'll call a list of guys who are, you know, in the minors that we rack and stack in terms of their performance on at least a quarterly basis, sometimes more frequently. We have them in four quartiles. Then we have players who are up here and in terms of how they're doing, and also what people are checking in on. So it's a very fluid situation. AJ and Josh are at the point, and they really drive it on an ongoing basis. But we have ongoing conversations, myself, Peter, with those guys, and we look at it very closely. And you know, as I said earlier, we have a quantity of outfielders, but do we have the consistent quality we need in the outfield? And I think the answer to that right now is no. But we look at over the last couple of years, Renfro has improved dramatically. And, Franmil has good games and some games that aren't as good. You got the good Myers and the Myers who is not playing that well from time to time. So we really want consistency, and I think we need guys who can play out there on an ongoing basis. And right now, we're hoping one or more of them will step up because, you know, we've got numbers, but we're not getting the level of play I think we need out of our outfield right now.
Talking to Padres Executive Chairman Ron Fowler, Friar Fridays here with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. All right, Ron, you get your fireproof shoes on? Because,
oh boy.
You know,
oh
this
boy.
Is I've been asked to hold your feet
it's
to
like
the fire.
New York media, part two over here.
I want to talk about your manager. When you and AJ evaluate the job Andy Green's doing, it would have been horribly unfair the last couple of years to just evaluate Andy Green on wins and losses. Given the roster, I mean, you're evaluating on development, leadership, a lot of other things, what's going on in the locker room. At what point, though, do you have to just say, hey, we're just not winning enough games? I'm not saying that you've gotten to that point, but when does it become simply a numbers game in whether Andy Green is doing the job or not as your skipper?
Well, right now we feel Andy's doing a good job, but you know, we also, you used the term, we're it was unfair previously. We think we're getting better. Are we where we need to be to compete for a division championship or a wild card? I think we're close on the wild card, but we're not there. But we look at situations like this, and we'll sit down at the end of the year and evaluate. But right now, based upon the team he has and how things are going, Andy's our guy.
Got a couple of home runs from Manny Machado last night at Coors Field, and we've been waiting for him to get on one of those tears. You're the one writing those gigantic checks, though. I mean, what are your expectations for Manny Machado? We've been delighted offensively, what he seems to have brought personality-wise to the clubhouse.
Defensively.
Yeah. But offensively, we've kind of still been waiting. What are your expectations right now for Manny Machado, Ron?
Well, I think that was sort of a rhetorical question. We feel exactly as you do. He's playing outstanding defense. He makes it look so easy, it's almost embarrassing, but it's not. He practices those things over and over again. But the person who's probably the most disappointed in his offense is Manny. You know, he's a wonderful young man. The more I get to know him, the more I talk to him. He's very sensitive, very caring young man, and he's frustrated. But I think it takes a while to really take on the responsibility, get to understand your team. I think he's probably pressing a little offensively, and but I think by the end of the season, Manny will be, from an offensive standpoint, as good as he is defensively, and nobody's tougher on Manny than Manny.
Ron, I'm curious. You went through a couple year-long process in determining what the uniforms were going to look like going forward. You've been on record with us before that you weren't a huge fan of brown. Yet word is out that in 2020, the Padres are going to wear new brown uniforms. We out here in the public have not seen them yet. I've got to assume that you have seen some of those final designs. I really want to know what you think of what the Padres are going to look like moving forward.
Well, I wasn't a fan of baby poop brown, and I called them. But yes, I've been involved. I've sat through more research than I care to. I'm not a research guy at college or graduate school, but I think we are at a good place. It's a very dark, rich brown and a very, what I guess our people are calling, vibrant gold. I'm not a marketing guy, so I don't know what that means. But I like the colors. We've had what we're doing approved by baseball. We're tweaking some of the lettering a little bit and things like that, but I think it's the people who like brown, I think, will like this a lot, and I'm getting used to it, and I think it will be San Diego's to own. There will be no other uniform like our uniform, and I think we're gonna wearing that uniform, and I think you guys said it earlier, and I think, Woodsy, you were probably the one that said it. It's all about winning, and I think we're going to win with that uniform, so I will learn to love it.
That's fantastic. We are talking to Executive Chairman of the Padres, Ron Fowler, here on Ben and Woods this morning. And, you know, listen, I think you as an owner, I think probably Andy Green as a manager, we as the fans, when somebody is scuffling and somebody is struggling, the knee-jerk reaction is always to say, well, who do we have? Who's next? Who's the next man up? And it seems like there are a lot of guys tearing the cover off the ball down in some of the lower levels. At what point is a change made, you know, to get a Luis Urias up? If he is the second baseman of the future, why isn't he here? Is it just because he's not going to get enough consistent reps at this level?
Well, there are two things. One, we have someone down there looking at him now who's probably one of our Uber scouts, and we want to make sure that the leg kick and some of these things are consistent, because you get up here and it's a big jump from AAA to the major leagues, and you look at some of the numbers that Ty France and such are hitting down there. You think they should be back here. Ty was serviceable while he was here, but it's a completely different world. So we don't want to have Urias come up and send him down again. We want to make sure he's ready to come up and stay here, because we're probably going to have to make some other moves that are irreversible once you make them. And so that's why we want to make sure he's ready. I think we're close. AJ, I think, feels he's close. So if I had to pick a month, I think this is a month that he will come up to stay up.
Well, Ron, it has been a pleasure as always. And I assume hopefully we'll get another chance maybe next month to catch up. And hopefully the Padres are going to be in a better position, but we'll be before the trading deadline, see where they're at. But it is always a pleasure to get a few minutes of your time.
Like Ben, I'd like to be three games above 500 next time we're talking versus where we are. So I look forward to it.
It's a good goal. Six-game winning streak. We'll talk to you in 6 days. How's that sound?
Book him.
Work on a gangster rap. Okay?
Oh, no. He was listening. Oh, my God.
Of course he was. That was Padres Executive Chairman Ron Fowler on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Vote SDCCU for Best Credit Union in the Union Tribune Readers Poll daily at SDCCU.com/vote. San Diego County Credit Union, it's not big bank banking, it's better.
It's better.
I loved that Ron Fowler acknowledged what really has been my argument the last few years about the brown uniforms.
Yeah.
If you like them, you don't like them. The most important thing is that they look different than other teams. That you don't turn on the TV and Sports Center comes on and you look up and you think, oh, Padres, oh, no, wait, Brewers, oh, no, wait, Mariners, oh, no, wait, Rays. They have a color scheme that is instantly identifiable with them, only them, and it really gives you an identity. And he kind of embraced that. It's like, not my favorite color, but it's our color, it's historic, and it's one that people will identify with us.
It's a double-edged sword, though, because, I mean, when you watch the Diamondbacks play, yeah, you know it's the Diamondbacks, but those are hideous. I mean, we were talking about it in our dugout yesterday, a bunch of adult league players like, dude, can you imagine if you had to wear pewter pants? They're the worst uniforms in baseball. They've never had a good uniform. I don't know why they don't just simplify it, but in the Padres' case, I'll tell you, man, I was not a big fan of some of the browns that I'd seen over the years. The Friday night brown and gold are just phenomenal. They're phenomenal. I wish they would wear those every single day. I love those.
But you got to stick the landing now. I
mean, you got to make it right.
You've gone through the process. You've made the decision. You've made a lot of fans happy with the decision. You still have to stick the landing, and then whatever uniforms that you've picked still do have to look kind of good and appealing. So, well,
to your credit, would anybody complain if they just made the Friday night jerseys
regular home jerseys? It would look phenomenal.
It does sound sharp.
You
know, I hear they're going to get creative with the lettering
with
and stuff
the gold
like
and brown that they're talking about. It does sound like it's got to be some element of what we've seen on Friday nights, kind of going into those jerseys. Those could still be the alternate type jerseys with a more, you know, white and brown and gold based regular home jersey. I will see. What we've heard is probably right after the World Series or so.
Cool.
That they'll unveil that. They usually have an embargo during the playoffs, but then as soon as it's over, full steam ahead. You can start selling merchandise, getting ready for the next year. So that unveiling should come before the end of this calendar year.
I just hope it's not the sand. I never liked the sand color brown. And it's from his interview, it's dark and rich and coffee, you know, all that stuff. I love that. That's going to be great.
Yeah, I've heard rumors that the home whites are kind of more of an off-white that they're calling sand, but not the same
as
the one that you remember from that weird blue sand days when they first moved into Petco Park.
So, Benny, what am I wearing right now, as usual?
Oh, you've got a concert T-shirt on,
and
as usual.
What color?
Black. Full black, Johnny Cash.
Right. It's going to suck having to wear a brown hat, because I wear all black all the time. It's just not going to match for me, so I don't know what I'm going to do.
But a blue hat doesn't really go with black either.
Better than brown does,
you
though.
You think so?
Yes.
Blue goes with brown better than brown goes with black. Blue goes with black better than brown goes with black.
Correct. Yeah.
I disagree.
No, brown is just kind of its own, it's a standalone. It's a standalone thing. I'm worried about my color scheme, my personal color scheme. But I don't know. As long as it's not sand, I'm good with it.
That's fine.
All right. It's hot in here. Holy crap.
It is
crap.
Warm in this studio. My goodness gracious.
I'm going to throw up. I had two beers last night, and now I'm sweating them out.
It sounded like you had a good time at your show, though. I was listening to you talk about it when I was
the greatest.
Driving in the morning.
It's the perfect show for an old guy on a Sunday night. Start at 7:55. We play for half an hour. I'm like, every show should be that way. It was really, really cool.
Just a little couple of news and notes here before we get to the top of the hour in a second, because you said a lot of things going on locally. San Diego came oh so close to a championship ring yesterday, and the Legion, our rugby team, was up 4. Time had run out, but in rugby, the team that has the ball gets to continue their possession until it's over.
Oh, wow.
And Seattle, like, pushed across, like, 40 seconds after time and run out to score the winning try at the end and deny San Diego a championship. So hard to win a championship in any sport in this town. I felt bad for those guys. They had had a record crowd, like almost 5,000 at Torero Stadium.
Nice.
Going for the win yesterday and came really close. And then the Gulls look like they're going to be in the market for a new head coach later today. The Ducks have called a press conference, and according to the sources that I've talked to, Dallas Eakins will be named the new head coach of the Anaheim Ducks after his four seasons helming the San Diego Gulls in the AHL. So a well-deserved promotion. He's a good guy.
Good for him.
We've talked to him a number of times on the radio. He's a good guy.
It's one of my favorite interviews. He's great. He is just the nicest dude, and I'm really happy for him. And, hey, listen, that's exactly what should have happened. So good for Dallas, man. That's awesome.
Coming back for second hour of Ben and Woods, haven't gotten into the Lakers trade of Anthony or acquiring Anthony Davis over the weekend. A little more of on our Father's Day, and we're going to play some Real or Fake coming up. All coming up in the next 30 minutes of Ben and Woods this morning. I am I'm excited as a Lakers fan, but it's not necessarily a great trade. For the Lakers. This could go very badly for the LA in about 3 years. They're going to regret what happened over the weekend. So we'll get into that and much more. It is Ben and Woods. Glad to have you with us. Getting started your week on the home of the Padres, 97.3 The Fan. Stop looking at me. It's still Monday morning. It's early.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.